We are doing the additions, the addendums that were missing from the earlier prints of Sefer Maasiyot. And over here, we're beginning with the first edition, which the first part of this is missing. And it continues where we're holding is God tells us, do not bow le'el acher, which can mean to another god. And the idea is, do not bow to anything else that is bowed to. Meaning people will bow to all kinds of things. Any other thing that is being bowed to, do not bow to other than me. And he killed him. So the story is obviously the story of the children of the seven children of Chana, who the king told them, bow down. The king told them, I want you to bow down to an idol. And Chana, one child after another, refused. And the third child said to him, God says, do not bow to any other than me. We'll begin the story, even though in this edition we do not have the beginning of the story, but this story appears in the Talmud in Gittin. We will encounter it in, when we continue with the stories in Gittin. And Rav Yehuda says, there was a woman with her seven children that were brought before the Caesar, and he told them, bow to idols. Now we will learn more depth in this story when we go on to our Agadot of the Talmud class, when we learn it in Ein Yaakov. Now we'll just read the stories, and the depth we'll leave for when we get it in a few classes in our Agadot HaTalmud classes, which we'll begin hopefully tonight. So they brought the children before the Caesar, and he said, bow to my idol. They said, it says in the Torah, I am Hashem, your God. So they took out the first one, and they killed him. They brought the second child before the Caesar, and he said, I want you to worship the idol worship. And he said, it says in the Torah, Lo yeh lecha elokim acherim al panai. You should not have any god other than me. So they took him out and executed him. They brought the third son. They said, we want you to serve idols. And he said, it says in the Torah, Zovech le Elohim yochoram. Anyone who serves any god other than God will be banished. They took him out and killed him. They brought the fourth son and told him, serve idols. And he said, it says in our Torah, do not bow to another idol. And Rav Nissim Gaon is saying this as though it happened to the second son that he quoted this verse. In our Gemara, it's quoted that the fourth son said this. And when we learn the Gemara in depth, when we learn our Agadot HaTalmud, then we will discuss what the different claims that the Caesar made philosophically were, and why the different children answered him with different verses. But for now, we're still in our Sefer Maasiyot, so we'll read it simply. They brought the third son before him, and he said, bow to this idol. And the son said, I will not do that. God said, whoever brings a sacrifice to any being other than God will be banished. So in other words, God saying, serve only me. There is no other. So they executed him. They brought the fourth son. They said, bow to this idol, and if not, you'll join the fate of your brothers. He said, I will not do that. God, the Exalted One, said, Hear, O Israel, Hashem is your God, Hashem is one. Shema Yisrael. In other words, hear the house of Israel. Hashem, who is the power, is the only one. There's no room to bow for any others. And they executed this fourth son. They brought the fifth son, and again they told him, bow to the idol. And again he said, God already told us, Ki el kana Hashem lokecha. Hashem, your God, is a zealous God. He's not willing to let you serve other gods. And they executed him. They brought the sixth son, and again they told him, and again he refused. And he said, Hashem told us, Lo ta'asuni ti Elohi chesef Elohi zav lo ta'asu lachem. Do not make yourself gods of gold or silver. Nothing else other than me, God says. So they executed the sixth son. They brought in the seventh child. This is Chana's last child. In our Gemara, there's a different version to the story. We will learn that in our Gemara. But he quotes the story as follows. They told him, bow to this idol. And he says, that's impossible. So the king said to the child, you know what? I'll have mercy on you. I'll throw my ring down before the idol, and you just bow down and pick it up to give it to me, so that my friends will think that someone listened to my decree. And the child said to him, Woe to you! You fear flesh and blood that are like you, and I fear no one but God. He's above us all. So the Caesar said to him, is there really a God in the world? And the child said, woe to you! Have you ever seen in the world someone that bows to a God that has a mouth and yet it doesn't speak, has eyes and yet it doesn't see, has ears and yet it doesn't hear? You are like the thing that you bow to. You too have eyes and you're not seeing. You don't see what you should be seeing. You have senses and you're not using them the way you should. And like the pious one, David HaMelech said, Pelohem velo yedaberu, einayim lahem velo yiru. In other words, the idol that these apostates bow to have a mouth and yet they don't speak, they have eyes yet they don't see. But our God, Afiyadi yaseda eretz, God says, my hand established this earth. Viminiti pchashamayim, my right hand, so to speak, holds up, fixes up the skies. Kore ani alehem yamdu yachad. In other words, God says, my power, I've laid the foundation of the earth, I've expanded the heavens, and when I commanded they be so, that is the way they were. So then the Caesar said to the small child, if that is so, then why doesn't your God save you from me? Just as he saved Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. So the child said to him, they were pious, so God saved them. And we are sinners, just like you're a sinner. And that's why God commanded to have us killed. The mother called out and said, the king, I implore of you, lay the sword on his throat and my throat. Let them execute us together. I don't want to see my last child being killed. And the king said, I won't do that. It says in the Torah, do not slaughter a parent and the child at the same time. The Torah says you don't slaughter a sheep together with its child. And the mother turned to him and said to him, woe to you. Which mitzvah do you keep of the Torah? That you suddenly quote a mitzvah from the Torah, and because of that you don't want to have pity on me. And he said to her, okay, I'm willing to have pity on you. Now go speak pleasantly to him, so I won't kill him as well, and I'll leave him for you. I already killed all your other children. Go talk to him, and I won't kill him. And she said to him, if you tell me to talk to my son, I will, my master. And she turned to her son and she said, my son, do not accept a word that this apostate says. You go meet up with your brothers and you merit to be in their band. And when you get up there and you see an old man and you see his face is shining, his face shows hadrat panim, you see glory in his face, that's Avram Avinu, may he rest in peace. And you tell him, you built one altar for your son Yitzchak, and you did not sacrifice him on him. And we sacrificed our souls to Hashem, may he be elevated. And we did not rebel against your command. And our mother was witness, and she saw it all. And the king turns to the mother and says, is that what I commanded you to do? And she turned to him and said, woe to you! You want me to separate him from his brothers? And then the king killed that child as well. And when Hannah saw these seven children that were executed, she went up to the rooftop and committed suicide. When the Caesar saw that the mother and children would not let him convert them, he said to himself, if not for the fact that they're fighting for the truth, they would not give up their lives for it. And then he commanded to have them all buried together, and he built a special shul over there, and that was the first shul that was erected after the destruction of the Second Temple. And to this happening, King David alluded when he said, Moshivi akeret habayit em abanim semecha hallelujah. And he's alluding to how could it be that this woman remained without children as though she were barren, and as such King David promises her You, the mother of the children, you should rejoice, because I promise you, you still have wages waiting for you. This is the story. We don't know the beginning sentences. But Rav Nissim Gaon continues and says, and among them, there were those who were tested with their wealth. But when a person goes back from the action that caused him to be fitting for the test of his wealth, then he gets paid back. The story is told about Rav Huna. He had 400 barrels of wine, and they all turned to vinegar. The sages came before him and they said, look over your actions and fix what needs fixing and let go of what needs to be let go. And he said, do you suspect me that I did something wrong? You think I did something that God doesn't approve? And they told him, do you suspect God that he'd do something that is unjust? So he said to them, well, if you've heard of something that I've done wrong, tell me. And they told him, yes, we've heard that your worker that works your portion, you don't give him his portion of the wood. He's dealing with the trees, and there's some wood that you remove from the trees, and that wood, which you end up, even though it's like a small amount of money, but really he should get his portion of that. So he said to them, well, he's supposed to take his percentage of the crops, and he's robbing me blind. I know he's taking more than he deserves. So I don't give him this piece of wood, but you know what? I'm only getting back a little bit of what he really owes me. So they said to him, well, just because he's stealing you means you could steal him. He's stealing you with the portion of the crops. Now you have an issue with the wood. Well, on the wood, he deserves his portion. You have to pay him what you owe him. And don't worry about what he's stealing. He'll get punished for that. And from that they said, fine. If that's what I should do, that's what I'll do. And our sages have on tradition that the value of vinegar went up. God made the whole market of vinegar go up to the market of wine, and he lost nothing by the fact that his wine turned to vinegar. And so too we find many of the righteous, some live in wealth, and they get the test that they lose their wealth, so that, so to speak, they lose whatever they have to get paid back in this world. And I won't expand and tell you about them, Rav Nissim Gaon says. And if a person looks into these things, then there's no room for error, and a person will have stronger faith in his Creator. Sometimes God tests the servant on actions that we don't know, we don't recognize. One of the students used to learn a lot of Torah, and he'd be very careful with his actions, and he died a young man. And the Gemara says his wife took his tefillin, and she'd walk around the shuls and the yeshivas, and she'd say, doesn't the Torah say the Torah gives you longevity? Meaning, how could it be that he died as a young man? He was dealing in Torah. That should give him longevity. Why'd he die so young? And no one could answer her. And one time, one of the sages was a guest, and she raised this point, and he asked her, tell me, did he come near you when you were impure, when you were in Nida? And she said, God forbid, he didn't even touch me with a small finger. So he said, fine. But the last 7 days, when there's nothing that you can discern, it's just spiritual impurity, after you're completely clean and there's no, you're just counting 7 days the Torah tells you to count, then did he touch you? So she said, yeah. And then we ate together and we slept together, but we didn't do anything that was prohibited. He didn't live with me, we didn't have relations. So he said to her, blessed be God that didn't forgive him and killed him, because he undoubtedly, he's going to get the world to come because he paid the price, but he had no right to do what he did. He is prohibited from touching you until you go to mikveh after the 7 days of cleanliness. So here Rav Kook has an interesting pshat that's not what we're learning now. So this is the addition that we missed. This is the first addendum, the story of Chana and her 7 children, and the story of Rav Huna's wealth that went down, and the story of this student who died as a young man.